Good day, everyone. Good to see you. Good to have you joining us. If you're joining on a different date, no problems. Just so good to have you checking in with us. Just a reminder, we are now working on looking at making plans for reopening. Hopefully you have received the survey. If you have, via email or through social media or on a web page or however you have received it, if you could fill that out and get it back to us, that would so help us, because we want everybody's input on this as we go into this whole next phase of reopening and what we're planning for here. So the other thing too, we have been on a series now, which is looking at this little letter in two-thirds of the way down through the New Testament called Hebrews. And I've entitled it Laser Focused Faith for a reason. And it's simply a letter. We don't know who the author is, but it's simply a letter to believers who are struggling, going through difficult times, and some of them feeling like they're almost on the point of giving up, so to speak. And so we've been looking at that. So just a quick recap here. Basically, what the writer has been saying is that Jesus is the center of everything. That's how the writer started out. Jesus is the center of everything. Jesus became human. That's what, you know, when we celebrate, when we talk about the historical Jesus, it's God becoming human, becoming us, knows our difficulties, knows what the challenges we face here on earth, knows that we go through difficult times, and is wanting to bring us into a place like of rest with God's self, into that place of peace and shalom, as we would call it. And then the writer started to compare Jesus to a high priest, but stopped, realizing that they needed to address this whole situation of when you go through difficult times, you could sometimes there's the tendency to go into this place of indifference, and warn them about that, warn them about going down that road, to remember to keep their eyes focused on Jesus. And then last week we touched on what actually was the writer trying to get at in comparing Jesus to a high priest. And so we touched on that. And it was that Jesus being high priest, he wasn't a high priest according to the law, but Jesus was high priest according to faith. That's what the writer was trying to get at there. And so now we're going to go into chapter 8. This is where it segues into there. It actually starts early on in the latter part of 7, but that's okay. It's all connected. Remember, when the writer wrote this, they didn't have chapter numbers, right? They just dove in. So I'm going to try and sit still more if I can. I know some people said, yeah, I move back and forth. But the difficulty is that this is a fascinating letter. And whenever I prepare teachings, I want to make sure my heart's into it. It's not, I'm just not doing a teaching. But this is just a fascinating book, a fascinating letter that's been written. And it's hard to sit still, because I could sit still and just be a talking head. But I don't know where I would get to express my emotions. So I'm going to move around. I'm going to be moving forward and back. That's just the way it is, because this is fascinating. Anyway, so let's dive into Hebrews, starting at chapter 8, verse 1. And I'm going to read the first two verses to you, where the writer says, here is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. And there he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. The main point. Here's the pivotal. Here's the summit of the mountain that we're climbing. Right here. This is the pivotal thing, right? Basically, the writer is saying is, if you remember nothing else, remember this, right? Remember this. And what the writer goes on to say is that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ. And the difference between Jesus being the high priest and the priest of the law and the high priest of the law is that Jesus is always in the presence of God the Father. And that we're the high priest, they only went into that holy of holy place, you know, that inner room. They only went into there once a year to seek forgiveness for the people. And that's the beauty of it. But Jesus is always there in the presence of the Father, always ministering on behalf. Jesus has made the offering, you know, who's called this perfect sacrifice, right? It's what John the Baptist declared when Jesus was coming, right, to the Jordan River and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, right? And because Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit together, what was in their heart was to make a new covenant that was made by better promises for us. Because what's God's point? To bring us into God's rest, right? That's God's point in all of this. But we have to ask the question. I hope you've asked the question. Why? What's up with the new covenant? Why a new covenant? Why was that even needed? And I'm glad you asked if you asked that question, because that's a great question to ask. Okay, so the new covenant, it was actually prophesied centuries before this letter was written by the prophet Jeremiah. Chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, Jeremiah lays this out, right? Because you see, with the old covenant, the onus was placed on us, on me, on you, right? To obey all of the law. And you know how that turned out. You know how it turns out in your own life. It doesn't work too well. And they couldn't keep the law. Hence why they had the priesthood system, where the priest could mediate between God and the people, right? And it didn't work. As the writer says, God found fault with the Hebrew people, right? But the beauty of the new covenant is that it reveals God's heart for humanity. And it's just, it's sweet, is what it is. It's sweet. Let me read Hebrews 8 from verse 10 to verse 12. And this is the quote. The writer is quoting Jeremiah here. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel in Judah and with us. Okay? And this covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant. So I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is... But, don't you love the buts in Scripture? But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. Here it is, guys. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Breathe that in. Beautiful, isn't it? Now, before we move on, I want to jump. Well, actually, it's not jumping. I just want to continue because it's the final verse in chapter 8. And I want to read that, read what it says. The writer writes, when God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. Did you hear that? See, the old covenant where the onus is on us, on me to get it right. It's like expired milk in the fridge. It's gone. It's no good. Toss it. Now hear me right here. I'm not saying toss the law. That's not saying do whatever you want. That's not that at all. Love doesn't do whatever it wants. Love never harms, right? Never harms. I go on a bunny trail there. Let me come back onto the path. The new covenant now has now come into effect. That's the reality that we have to remember. Now, this is where I want you to listen up. If you haven't been listening, and I know you have, but here I really want you to zero in, because this is the central point of the letter that was written here. Number one, followers of Jesus do not live according to the law. That's not what guides us. That's not what we fix our eyes on. That's not the goal line we're running to. The law is not it. Remember, it's gone. It's out of date. That system, the way it worked, that is gone. Number two, the new covenant says that the law will be written on our hearts and in our mind. What's interesting, I believe those words are true and correct, that all of humanity, deep down, knows this law, knows it. And it is the law of love is what it is. Love for God, love for others. Jesus put it another way in his, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, hey, do to others what you would like them to do to you. That's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Both on the great commandment to love God and love others, and on what we have called the golden rule, Jesus says, after both of those statements, that all the law and all the prophets hang from those two statements. In other words, they are the foundation. In other words, if you get that right, that will look after all the legal requirements of the law. Because Paul says, many of his letters, the law only brings death. It only shows where we've messed up. It condemns us, right? That's what the law does. It just shows all that, but it doesn't bring life. It's love that everything points to. That's the foundation that everything is built on. That's number two. Number three. 3 points? No, there's more than three. Three. God has said yes to you. Do you realize that? God has said yes to you. When the words say, I will be their God, that's God saying yes. God's already said yes to you. Number four, you are forgiven. You don't have to beg God for forgiveness. Just receive it. You're forgiven. Just receive it. That simple? Yeah, that simple. Just receive it. And finally, all of this, this new covenant, all of this is God's initiative. Trust me when I say, you are not helping God at all when you try to obey all of the law. That's not how we get to the Father, right? That's not how we get to God. It's by faith. That's giving you a hint of what's coming up in the next few teachings. This is all God's initiative. Five times in the New Covenant, God says, I will, I will, I will. It's God's initiative. Let me make it an illustration. 10 years ago, I did an exercise that my back hugely rejected, hugely was against, because I had a bad muscle spasm in my back, and it wouldn't go away. And so I booked an appointment with a massage therapist. Had never been to one in my life. And so once I finally get to the appointment, the massage therapist starts working on my back and stops. And goes, hey, look, you have to relax and let me work this out. You're tightening up, right? They just said, and I told them in no uncertain terms, I said, look, every time you touch that spot, it hurts really, really bad. And they said, you know, you're not helping by tightening up. Just don't do it. They said, you have to relax, breathe through it. And then they said this to me. They said, do you have kids? I said, yeah. They said, were you there in the delivery room when your wife was delivering your children? I said, yes. I wasn't sure where they were going with this. And they said, did you remind your wife that when the contraction hits to breathe? Yes. They said the same thing for you. Breathe. Okay, just breathe through it. You'll be okay. And so I did. And yes, it worked. Breathe through it. Listen, guys, this is God's initiative, right? God has took this. God became the perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ. Done for us. Forgiveness is there. I just need to receive it. And this is the new covenant that God has made with us. This is the new covenant. This is why we celebrate. This is why we gather. This is why we do what we do. God wants to bring us, and this is actually God's rest, right? Which we can enter into because Jesus is our high priest. defeated death, and ministers before God. Prays for us, prays for you. This is the God we worship. Such good news. So I want you to hang on this, okay? Because what the writer is doing, the writer is bringing us to this place of hope and faith, right? And those are the two things that they have the potential, well, actually, more than the potential, what they bring out in us is this character quality of perseverance and endurance. That's what it does. And that gets us through those tough times. So stay with me. Listen, next week, Phil and Jen Snell, who are missionaries down in João Pessoa in Brazil, they're going to be sharing and probably bringing a bit of a teaching and bringing encouragement to us. It'll be great to hear them. And then the following week, we're going to pick up where we left off today. Okay, so here's your homework for the next 2 weeks. Take that new covenant, Hebrews 8, 10 to 12, and just meditate on that daily, day in, day out, remembering what the new covenant is that is now in effect. Okay, bless you guys. Let me pray for all of us. Father, we thank you so much for this new covenant you have made with us. Thank you, Father, that it's your initiative. It's not our initiative. Thank you, Jesus, that in you we have hope, we have faith. And so, Father, we just ask, Lord, would you take that covenant that you have made and just burn it into our hearts? Just put it deep inside us, Lord, so that we live and breathe that, knowing the depth of the love that you have for us. So, Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise, the glory, the honor, the hoorahs. We give you it all, Lord, because you are worthy of it all. And we just bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, have a great week and bless you. Just marinate in this week. Enjoy it, okay? Bless you guys. We'll see you later.